Praise the Lord. Message number 19. The title of the message, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, part 7. Let's open our Bible to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, and let us read from verse 7 to verse 16. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He also descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that's Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for your goodness and your faithfulness. We come before you in the name of Jesus. Bless this time and bless your word, and let your word go clearly, O God, from your throne. I pray, O Lord, you anoint my lips and put verses and statement and arrange it, O God, to reach your people who need this message, to your church, to your body who is in need of your word, O God. Lord, we need you in our life. You help us and guide us, O God. Lead us, O Lord, for without your God, we cannot manage to go on and save and make disciples and plant churches and care and shepherd your people. Let the message be reached those who are in need of it to hear it. We thank you, Lord. We bless you, Jesus. You guide us and you help us. This all we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We spoke before the spiritual gifts, as this is recorded in Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But Ephesians chapter 4 and the passage that we have read just now is speaking of another type of gift. In Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the passages offer stability and strength to the body of Christ with the different kind of gifts that we spoke. This passage, Ephesians 4, has more to do with leadership in the body of Christ. Now, everyone should do his work. Everyone is a part of the body. As he has baptized with the Holy Spirit, the Lord had given him certain gifts of the Holy Spirit, and function and ministry are so important for the body, for the body of Christ, for the church. As the word of God says, as each part does its work, So everyone has a work, has a ministry, has certain function in the church. But the important thing is here, that all should work and do service. Everyone in the body of Christ, according to the scripture, is a minister in that sense. But not everyone can equip and train and mentor others to do ministry. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 11, the word of God say, it was He who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. Those to equip the saints, these gifts are given to the church to equip, train, and mentor others to do the ministry. Why the Lord give this gifts? As we read from scripture to verse 12, Ephesians 4:12, to prepare God's people for works of service. Preparing you for service. To do the ministry. Some people, they go independently. Or they divide themselves from a church and they do the ministry. But they have forfeit the blessing and the gifts of God that they can receive through the church they are part in. Because leaders of the church are important factor for the church to function properly. Because they are the one who are called by God and gifted by God to train and prepare the people to do the service. So to first point, to prepare God's people for work of service. What is the purpose of that? Why we need people to be equipped? The apostle, prophet, teachers, and pastor and evangelists. Their primary function is to prepare God's people for service. So that the body of Christ may be built up. The church will be built up. Church is not a building but a people. The people, they need to be built up in the right way. Somebody should do the function and the work of apostle. Somebody should do the work of pastor. Somebody should do the work of evangelist. So that the church will be built up. Until we all reach unity in the faith. So everyone will be having the same level of faith that God want to see in our life. Unity in faith. Those congregations or those churches that are independent, they will be in a gap with what God is achieving in a world built up churches. Those whom having a foundation, and those who are has been long in walk with God, sure they will equip their saints and their people, and they can, their members, they can reach it in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, because they are in the right place, who are receiving the blessing of God and the gifts of God that He gave to the church, and the members of that church are getting benefit of what the Lord had given to the church. To those who go independently, they forfeit their rights in the body of Christ. We must not underestimate Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 11. These important gifts to prepare God's people for service. To make the church build up, unity in faith and in the knowledge of Christ, maturity, until attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. What Christ would expect to see in the church when He will come, The five offices that we are going to speak today is important to equip and train and to mentor others to do the ministry. Everyone should serve God, but there must be a control. There must be somebody who is auditing and direct and define and edit and correct and direct, and that is where these five offices are functioning. The first office we speak is the office of the apostles. There seems to be some confusion and misunderstanding relative to this gift of leadership in the church world today. Both in scripture and in the history of the church that follows, apostles are referred to two levels. The first level, level one, or we can call them capital A. These are those individuals who are part of the 12 or part of the inner circle of Christ, along with Paul, who described himself as an apostle born out of due season. So these are the first group of apostles, are those of that small group who heard Jesus, saw Jesus, and witnessed or wrote the scripture of him from personal experience. They saw Christ, they lived with Christ, and they witnessed and they wrote the scripture of Christ. Paul described himself as one of this group, who met Christ face to face. Acts chapter 1, when the apostle, when they were waiting for the Holy Spirit, they want to replace Judas Iscariot to fulfill the scripture, so that they need somebody to share in the ministry of witnessing of the resurrection of Christ. Let us read verse 21 and verse up to verse 26. Therefore it is necessary to choose one of the men who have been with us the whole time the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from John's baptism to the time when Jesus was taken up from us. For one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. So they proposed two men, Joseph called Barsabbas, also known as Justus, and Matthias. Then they prayed, Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which of these two you have chosen to take over this apostolic ministry, with Judas left to go where he belongs. Then they cast lots, and the lot fell on Matthias, so he was added to the 11 apostles. So here we find the criteria that the one who, one of the men who with us the whole time the Lord Jesus went in and out, beginning from John's baptism, not only he made, but he lived with Christ, he witnessed Christ to the time when Jesus was taken. So he witnessed the death, in that he was there when Jesus died, he rose from the dead, and the person witnessed that. For one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. The early church suggested that if a written document in the time coming that they want to collect the Bible or the written word of God, how they would choose the scripture. The early church suggested that if a written document that claimed to be scripture was going to be truly received into the canon of the New Testament, then it would need to have been written by an apostle with a capital IS we describe here, or someone who was a companion of an apostle. Example, Luke was not an apostle, but he was companion of Paul, who is considered one of the apostles in this category, capital A category. The other group of the apostle, as mentioned in the scripture, they are also seem to be what one might call a group of people in the New Testament who were apostles in the sense of a lower case, a small a. Those the inner circle, those were not those who wrote scripture, nor those who were part of Christ's inner circle. It might even that they do not fit precisely into the hallowed grouping of those of the capital A. But the scripture spoke about them. This is another group of apostles. Indeed, they were truly apostles in terms of their ministry. For example, in Romans chapter 16, verse 7, Paul wrote, he says, "Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen, and my fellow prisoners who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me." Not only does Paul call these two, a man and a woman, most likely a man-wife team, or a husband and wife and apostles, but he points out that they are well known among the apostles. So there are other apostles. Other apostles that, apart from the inner circle of the apostles who are near to Christ and they witness Christ's life and his death and resurrection, in addition to Paul, there are another group of apostles. Because Paul say, who are of note among the apostles. Paul also mentioned in 1 Corinthians and chapter 15, and let us read from verses 3 to verse 9. "For what I received I pass unto you as of the first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter, and then to the 12. After that he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time. Most of them are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles." So here in verse 4, so in verse 5, he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. Those are the apostles, the inner circle of Christ. But in verse 7, Paul said, "And he appeared to James, then to all the apostles." So there's another group of apostles. "And last of all, he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born." Verse 9, "For I am the least of the apostles, and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I work harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it was I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believe." So according to the scripture, there are another group of apostles, in addition to the inner circle, that we know that they are the one who first witness. First group of apostles who planted the church in the day of Pentecost. The difficulty with the ministry of the apostle or apostle that there is no clear definition or description in the New Testament as to what these people did. One knows about Paul, one knows some of the others, but when we try to piece together some of the evidence, it is not nearly so neatly defined or simple as some people like to suggest. We can clearly define the ministry of the 12, but the rest of the apostles, since there is less mention about them in the Bible, in the New Testament, we cannot define their ministry and what is different than the inner circle apostles who were around Christ and including that group Paul. So what is the ministry of the apostle? It can be apostles like a bishop who define and who can be defined as a supervisor or overseer over a certain geographical area of ministry or certain territory. It could be. Or can be an apostle as a missionary or someone who is sent by God, because the word apostles, the meaning of it is somebody sent by God, someone carrying the gospel to a new area. Or we can define an apostle as one with the gift of or the ability to begin new works for God through the ministry of the word. The apostle ministry is the ministry of pioneering a new work for God using the word of God and put it into practice. Paul say in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 10, by the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. So the ministry of the apostle or the ministry of the early apostles, whether the major or the minor apostles, was to lay the foundation of the church. What foundation? Verse 11, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. So it was so important, the ministry of writing the scripture link with the apostle, because they wrote the word of God, they approved the word of God that they receive, and they put it into practice. So they laid the foundation of the church, and later was built on it. So the question here, is it still now apostolic ministry? Yes, until very day, and will continue until Christ will come, because evangelism, reaching a new area, and planting churches using the foundation of Christ is the ministry of the apostle. It is the apostolic ministry. But the question is, there still apostles? We can still say yes, but we can still say no, because the apostle is the one who laid a foundation, a healthy foundation in the church. He laid the foundation of Christ, but already the foundation of Christ is laid, and we have it in our hand. So we can say the apostolic ministry, and we are part of it, is still there, and we are doing the apostolic ministry. The question, are we apostle? We can say yes and we can say no. Yes, because we are doing the same. But no, because already the foundation is already laid in the Bible. We cannot add more to what had been laid. The important here is not the title that certain people after, but the function that they need to do. As a church, we need to carry on the apostolic ministry. What the apostle did from the day of Pentecost or before that, before they received the Holy Spirit, till this day, till the day that they lay down the foundation of the early church, we are doing, we have to continue to do the same as Christ commanded us. So it is the function, the gift of the Holy Spirit that the Lord give us, is so important to receive in order to function for the glory of God. Because here is not the title is important, but the function that the gift offered to the church, to equip the saints, to train them, to monitor them, to mentor them, and to lay a healthy foundation of the local church. Apostles, or those who do apostolic ministry, they discipline the church and they organize the church and they structure the church according to the word of God. They lay down the foundation and then they will hand over the ministry or the church, the congregation, to the another gift to carry on. And here we will move to the another gift of this fivefold ministry or five offices, and the gift of the pastors. Gift of the pastors is very important. This gift is the ability to shepherd or nurture others in the truth and to care for the spiritual needs of others. Pastor is the one who is in intimate relationship with the members and the sheep who are in the church. The responsibility of the pastor or the shepherd is to feed the flocks, to give them the right food, and to nurture them, make them grow, give them give them the word of God according to their stage of growth, little by little. Already the foundation has been laid by an apostolic ministry. The pastor is responsible is to feed. As they will grow, he will give them hard food, then bones. First start with milk, will nurture the church and the flocks with milk. Then little by little, hard teaching, bread, and then bones. Gifted pastors do this through teaching and preaching and modeling exemplary Christian behavior. Though so gifted, they have patient and tender and kind touch when it comes to relationship with others, and they inspire confidence within the body of Christ. Very important is, after the church is planted, there must be a person who will care and look after the church, and that is the pastor. The third office that we're going to speak is the office of the teachers. This gift is the ability to proclaim the truth of the word in a manner that builds up the body of Christ through clarity of presentation. Teachers, they have the ability to extract the truth from the scripture exactly and to present or communicate the truth to the church or to the members or to the disciples in a very clear way. Teachers are important. Most of the time, the pastors, as they are called, as they are called to spiritually shepherd the flock, they have the ability to feed by teaching. In order to feed his members properly, a pastor needs to be skilled and involved in teaching whenever is needed. Preaching and teaching. But already the foundation, the sound doctrine, and the discipline had been laid on in the local church by then of apostolic ministry. The one who is doing the ministry of the same what the apostle did in for the early church. The fourth office is going to speak from this fivefold ministry, fivefold offices, is the ministry of the prophets. Prophets or prophecy in the New Testament or in general is either of, they are either of two kinds, either foretelling the future, and it seems to be very few individuals functioning in this capacity here now in the New Testament. In Acts chapter 21 verse 10, there's a prophet his name Agabus. He prophesied to Paul and he told them what's going to happen in the future. Clearly he spoke about it. Acts chapter 21 verse 10 verse 11. After we had been there a number of days, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea, coming over to us. He took Paul's belt, tied his own hands and feet with it, and said, "The Holy Spirit say, in this way the Jews of Jerusalem will bind the owner of this belt and will hand him over to the Gentiles." And truly that what has happened. A prophet who foretell or give the prophecy about the future, the prophecy should be fulfilled, otherwise he's a false prophet. And through there seem to be very few individuals functioning in this capacity and in the spirit of Agabus today. People are able to speak for individual or for a group of people at a large on behalf of God. We must clearly say that the office of the prophet is a genuine gift and should be more prominent and recognized within the body of Christ. But this gift must be exercised with a great caution and care, because many had been misled on a prophecy, because a prophet gave them a far out idea which was supposed to have come from God. And they wonder, they hear somebody spoke to them a prophecy and they are wondering why did not happen, or they are working in it that they do it by themselves. The body of Christ needs to guard his sheep with love and be more careful than that. On the other hand, the church need to assume that God is, the church should not assume that God is silent toward his people today. There surely must be some word that God is wanting to share in a manner similar to the Old Testament prophets. But caution must be caution and to be optimistic. Optimistic to agree that a prophecy with this capacity of Agabus can be happening in the New Testament, the same in the Old Testament. Somebody will tell the future when God wants to speak. but also question, because many false prophet and many they have abused this office. I remember very well one time somebody introduced to me a preacher, and I was embarrassed, so I allowed him to preach in one of our churches. He preached nicely, testimony, encouraging the people. At the end of his preaching, he was prophesying, and he called 6-7 people forward, and he told them what God is speaking. Everyone was amazed at that time. But when he prophesied, it never happened to those particular people. Although that person, I respect and I love, but he does not have the gift of prophecy, the gift of foretelling the future. And we as a church, we need to be careful, because if we say that's prophecy and did not fulfill, we are putting those who hear it into bondage. We need to be careful how to exercise that. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And let us read verse 29. Two or three prophets should speak, and the other should weigh carefully what is said. There must be balance. We need to hear. And then, the elders of the church will balance it, will weigh it with caution. It's in our mind, but also we should examine it. The Bible says, do not treat the prophecy with contempt. We don't treat it with contempt. We respect, but with caution. Amen? That's what God wants us to do. Prophecy in the New Testament, or according to the scripture, are of two types. Foretelling, to say something about the future will happen. And the other part of the prophecy is foretelling, to declare the will of God or the plan of God for you today. And here the other aspect of prophecy. Those who declare the will of God and who tell you the plan of God, and they will tell you what is God want you to do from you, to do with your life. They are functioning as prophets. So be in your mind. If somebody rebuke you or correct you according to the word of God, and you know that's fit for you, that's a prophecy for you, you accept it. Many, they like to hear something about the future that bring a dramatic change. That is not what God wants us. God wants us to follow His word today, and that's His will. And that is the prophecy that we want to hear, accept, and put into practice and abide, so that the future will be glorious. If you hear a message and the message bring something in your heart and conviction and fit for you, you accept it. That is a prophecy for you to repent, to come out from darkness and from sin, and to follow Christ. The future sure will be a blessed future as you follow God. The next gift or next office that's needed, and you discuss in fivefold ministry or fivefold office, is the evangelist. This gift is best defined as the ability to present Jesus Christ in such a way that hearers are pressed to respond in faith to the gospel. This division or approach does not require one to be full-time preacher or revivals necessarily, but focus on those with the ability to share God's word forcefully and powerfully, either to small or large groups of people. God's Holy Spirit gives and blesses certain individuals in the church in this manner because evangelism is needed. It would seem equally true that there are people in the local congregation who though not having a license or clergy credential as an evangelist, yet have a gift for evangelism. Some such individuals respond with an incredible desire just to go downtown or to the houses and to the shops and spend time witnessing to people in the city square. They reach out to people because of a heart warm by the Holy Spirit and overwhelmed with concern for the lost. Such people are key to spreading the good news into areas and to people and to crowds they have not heard the gospel. Now, with this fivefold ministry, it's so important that the local congregation may not have an apostle, or they are not doing the apostle ministry, but they have been planted by an apostolic ministry, and had been, their foundation has been laid properly. Those independent churches, they may not have the healthy foundation, because that will not be going on in a short time. It will be worked out with God on a long term time. As the church grow, the Lord will mold it with an apostolic ministry who are able to lay down a healthy foundation for the congregations. The church should have a pastor, the one who cares for the sheep, nurture them, feed them, who knows their basic needs, and to preach to them, admonish them, correct them, and who is able to teach. The church should have effort to evangelize. So it must be a balance. Effort to evangelize, but office of the teacher should also function. Because without effort of teaching, there is no use. You bring more people in, but there is no teaching, there is no discipline. There will be no disciples. There must be a people who teach and give message according to what they receive from the Holy Spirit to declare to the people the will of God. The church may not need somebody like Agabus who tell the future, but need someone to declare, to first tell the will of God to the church today. I pray that this message, it will help you to understand the importance of these fivefold offices and to make you understand in a practical way how we take it. We are not after titles. We never after titles that somebody to be called pastors or apostle or prophet or great evangelist. No. We are after functioning to equip people to do the will of God, to train them in the right way so that they will go forward with a mentoring to them to achieve God's plan and will. Let's pray. Father, I give you thanks and I praise you. I pray, Lord, that this message will bring you glory and honor. I pray that will impart wisdom to your people. Thank you, O God. I pray you honor everyone here, ears and mind, and humid it in the heart, they will take the essence of it and apply it in their life. Protect this message and use it for your glory. O God, bless us. Enlarge our territory, Lord. Let your hand be with us and keep us from harm so that we will not feel pain. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all in Christ's name. Amen.